Welcome to episode 90 of ZK Live. This is a very special episode because it is a Friday morning. I know it's weird, Friday at 9 a.m., but I was sick on Tuesday, had to reschedule. Our guest was kind enough to reschedule to today. Finding a sitter for the kids was not easy, I'm sure, and they had a sitter, and I left them hanging, so... I'm going to bring on Christina Young from Pro Image, one of the partners at Pro Image. Are you not going to sign in through Pro Image? Christina. Let's see, I saw she joined through her personal account, but I wanted to bring her on. Here we go. Boom. This will be the second person from Pro Image on this podcast.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Sorry, I had to make sure I was under Pro Image on my personal account.
No worries. Welcome to ZK Live.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad you could make it. I apologize for the mix-up on Tuesday.
No worries. Totally fine. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, much better. This is fun. Friday morning.
Yeah, a little different for you. I was worried no one would join, but good to see that we have people here.
Yeah, apparently no one's working on Friday morning. What the heck? All you lazy bums, get back to work.
Or good multitaskers, who knows?
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Christina, what do you do at Pro Image?
So I handle kind of all of the behind the scenes work. So really, you know, the operations, scheduling, answering phone calls, communication with clients, ordering, you know, inventory, all that admin stuff. Basically anything Steph doesn't want to do so she can be out in the field and selling and marketing, you know, training, working with clients. Being on the project. So anything really that's that behind the scenes that keeps it going.
So cool. Everybody needs someone like that. And I don't, I feel like there's not a lot of people that have someone like that.
I don't know that everyone knows that it's out there. You know, being married to Steph, it kind of just fell in her lap, so to speak. And then I think it was one of those, you know, for years she kept asking me to just leave the job and come on the business. And it's funny because, you know, Carney and I spoke yesterday, she was on the podcast, and we were talking a little bit about how it kind of finds you. And for us, you know, Steph kept saying, "You're so talented, just put that into our business. Do you know what that could do for us?" And I, you know, I was like, "Sure, you think I'm talented. Of course you do. You know, I'm your wife, you're supposed to. Thank you." But it was scary. You know, I always thought you go to college and you get a degree and you get a certain career. And I, although I loved her business and I was so proud of what she built, I was just kind of like, "Honey, I have a master's. Like, what am I going to do behind the scenes? Like, I'm not a secretary, you know?" And she kept going, "I know you're not a secretary. Give yourself a little more credit, you know?" And so it was never her saying that. It was really more my nervousness. And I helped her behind the scenes probably for about 3 years at night and on weekends. You know, answering emails, returning phone calls, helping with scheduling, kind of identifying any of the pain points that was really giving her stress where we could make it more efficient. And then COVID happened, and we have 3 young kids and they had to be homeschooled. And homeschool does not go well if you're home and trying to work. And so we were very fortunate that we had this incredible business that I had a strange skill set that you wouldn't necessarily think apply to painting, but was able to support her. And because it's gone so well, we've just kind of made it work since then. So it's been really great.
That's amazing. I'm so jealous. Like, it's awesome to have somebody like that. I have that person now in Carney, and we're learning and growing and getting better. But having a second person taking care of all of that other stuff, like, yeah. Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah, I will say, the two jokes we find most often is people be like, Steph, I don't know how you do it all. You answer phone calls and you respond to emails, but then I see you on ladders on your Instagram story and with your team. And anytime someone would be like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm how she does it all, friends. Like I'm who's answering her emails and her, and we love that. We want the clients to feel heard and seen. And that's the whole point, right? But they constantly would give her all this credit. And she'd be like, thanks, I have help. Like I'm not Wonder Woman, but I'm glad you're happy and your needs are met. So yeah. That and otherwise that she'd tell people she has three kids and they'd be like, wow, you look great. How'd you do it? And they'd be like, I know they all don't realize that you have a wife at home, but do not take credit for that one. You can take credit for the phone calls all day. So yeah.
Step is something else. So you guys, how, so 3 years ago you started doing some stuff in the business a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Helping out because she grew the company to something that she just couldn't handle on her own. And she knew it and she was smart enough to say it. And, I've been in customer service related fields forever, but I was in fundraising and marketing and events. And so I'd worked with all different CRMs and softwares, and I understand the complexities, the scheduling, and, well versed in Photoshop and things of that nature. I do photography on the side, and so there was little things that I could kind of contribute that took it off her plate. I'm a writer, so I would start writing content for her. I built a number of websites, so I, rebuilt her website. She needed a rebrand, and so we made a new logo, but we were strategic about it and kept kind of that authenticity to who she is. But she didn't have to go pay someone to do it. It was, I don't know, I think it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I was like, "Well, what do you want the feel to be?" And she wanted it to be strong and professional, but true to what she built. And so we were playing around with circles because I was thinking about what could a logo goes everywhere. It goes on your hats. It goes on your shirts. It goes on your letterhead. It goes on stickers, right? And so you have to really think about something that's not too intricate. Your graphics can't be hard to say sew on a shirt, or visible. And so all of a sudden I was like, oh, it could look like a paint can. And we just made a circle and I was like, and this is a really easy shape that's cheap to purchase on materials or put in places. And it's been awesome. Like just little things like that we were kind of able to work together on. And it's 11 o'clock at night when kids are in bed because that's what you do.
The beautiful thing.
It is.
So, what was the size of the company roughly when you came on board?
Oh, let's think. So we had the core four at the time. And so I think it was her and four painters and maybe a flux of one or two folks trying to, to find their groove or work out. So anywhere between four to six painters. And like I said, I was in fundraising jobs. I was starting to travel a lot. We had young kids and that wasn't really convenient. And so I took a switch of careers doing consulting because then I could do remote work and a lot of it was through video. And then all of a sudden she just blew up. Like, so she went from four to six folks and then she was at 10. And I mean, I know you get it, right? You're in a relationship. The last thing you want to do is watch your spouse stress. And I was sitting there going, oh, how can I help? And so I kept taking on like little pieces more. And then it'd be like this long, longer list. And I was like, we've got to figure something out. We either need an admin or like we just have to do it. And so when COVID hit, I was like, oh, perfect. The amount of stuff that I can do because I've done it forever, I can do it part time where someone that we hired and trained would be full time hours. And so it worked out well. And so it's been about, I don't know, a year and a half. COVID, I feel like COVID stopped time for everybody. it's either you're pre-COVID or hopefully post-COVID, although we're about to hit another wave of it. So who knows? But yeah.
So it's not a full-time gig for you then. You're able to be efficient and get it done quick.
Yeah, I mean, I work 40 hours a week. It's just not during your normal 8 to 5 workday, So I want to say to any business owner out there, I think we say 10 or 12 times a day. Oh, it's so hard to own a business, right? Like people don't see all of the things that are in there. And the fact that my wife handled everything that she handles in the way that she handles it blows my mind because, A, she never forgets anything. She's super fortunate. She just has that kind of brain, but it all lives in there, right? And so sometimes it doesn't all come out in the way that it needs to, or to like give her a second to de-stress. And so I think we feel that weight of owning a business all the time, but then there's moments that we're like, owning a business is awesome. You know, like I get my kids to school every day. I pick them up if they're having a hard day. You know, like I had to take my son to urgent care the other day because he tripped and fell. And okay, emails are going to wait 2 hours. You know, I'll apologize for a delay of a 2 hour in responding. And I picked up work when I got home and kids got to bed. Yeah, 10 o'clock at night. Like we were up to like 11:30 last night working on a spreadsheet for a client to make sure we had colors approved. And that's one of those moments where like, you know, there are other things we could be doing at 11:30 at night, you know, that you sacrifice, but it works. Like there's too many benefits to like focus on the hard things. So.
I think you have to be wired in a certain way to do this. You know,
Oh
like
yeah.
you said, Steph has it in spades. You know, to be able to have built what she built and to do it the way she's done it, you have to be wired a certain way. Where, no big deal. It's 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'm gonna get this thing done. That's not everybody, and I think it's good that most people don't own businesses because it is really hard and requires a certain mentality. That you don't want to have to force,
Yes.
you know.
Yeah, totally. And it's not, I think those with the mentality know they have to do it. So, like, I married an entrepreneur. Did I know that I was going to have that mentality? No. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sure your wife, you know, she feels it. Like, the job comes first. You know, when I came on full time, we had a lot of talks around this business cannot break our marriage. It's one of those that you set boundaries and you try to keep them. Oh,
Sorry,
sorry.
one second.
Oh,
Bear,
you're okay.
hey, my dog. Bear, I'm
You're
sorry.
fine. No, you're fine.
My wife is nowhere to be found right now.
It's
She's
totally
out getting
fine.
coffee. What is
Good
this?
for her, as she should. No, it's fine. I think you when you marry an entrepreneur, you don't realize that life is the job, right? And so if you can change your perspective to appreciating, like I said, everything the job can give you, it's different than focusing on everything it takes away. And I'm sure you, I mean, like you've blown up, friend. Like you are elevating the professionalism of what this trade is, and you are multifaceted in how you show that. So you're doing these ZK Live talks, what, once a week? Like that's a night that you're away from your family. Like you work all weekend. It's things that you do because you love the job, and it's easy when you love the job, but someone that marries into it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. It's awesome, but it definitely has its moments. So
What were when you first came on, what was like the first thing that you did?
I think I redesigned. Well, so I had redesigned her website a couple of years ago, but I definitely was like, if I'm going to do this and have the time and attention, I looked at all of the areas where she wasn't doing the marketing. So she's phenomenal at social media. She does her Facebook, she does her Instagram. You know, I don't touch any of that. And I was like, what do you hate? Like, what do you hate to do? What do you hate doing right now? And we identified those things. And I took them off her plate because I was like, okay, give those to me. Like, that's all admin stuff that I can do. Emails, you know, doesn't love to write emails. She'll talk to a customer all day, but that's not what she wants to do. Answering a phone, if you're on a ladder, it's really hard to answer a phone. Not to mention, you don't have a pen and paper. So, like, you could yes someone and give someone the customer service they need. But if you can't then implement whatever that conversation was into your schedule, into your notes, et cetera, it's really hard. So, she wouldn't pick the phone up during the day. And then girlfriend's exhausted after being on ladders all day, gets home. We got kids yelling in the background. She does not want to return a phone call. So even just those two little things really changed things up. I did a lot of the scheduling. So I looked at where our holes were and how we could be more efficient. I looked at softwares that I knew of that could make us just a little bit more streamlined. Like we got into House Call Pro. It has its quirks, but it really works for the way that we operate. And so I onboarded that. I cleaned up QuickBooks. I found an accountant because I hate QuickBooks, and that is not something that I do. So I was like, you know, I'll take all the stuff you hate, but certain things I'm not doing. And so, you know, I made those connections, and I tried to really take that paperwork off of her so that she didn't have to do it.
It's it's like a dream scenario for, I'm sure she was like, I can't believe this is even happening. This is too good.
Kind of. Well, we'll remind her to keep that in mind, but yes.
Yes. Yes. You better, she better, I'm sure she knows, but if she doesn't, does, I'll make sure to let her know how lucky she is.
Thank you.
So behind you, I'm dying to like all those like organized things. What's all that? You're a very organized person, I take it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super type A. I will say that on the admin side, a good friend of mine who is actually the mom of our son's best friend. It is the best love triangle you've ever seen since Dawson's Creek, and we can't wait to watch it grow. But she and I were spending a lot of time together, and she was, our children are on the spectrum, both our boys and her daughter. And as a parent, you juggle, right? Mom sacrifice, no matter what, the schedules change and you got weird schedules, like summer schedules. It's hard to find child. Was doing a trainer. And she was miserable. It was so hard for her. And at one point I was like, dude, you're brilliant. You worked in a school. I know you can multitask like no other. I don't have an exciting job for you, but I need help. And it can be flexible in what you need for time-wise. And so I stole her. And so I can't take a ton of credit for this all by myself because she is my work wife. She's like the two of us are how we make it all happen. But Steph's very visual. So Kayleen and I keep everything electronically so that we can edit. We do monday.com and house call. And so we can handle it from anywhere we are from our phones. Steph, when she was in the office, she needed to be able to see things to have it all, like to know that we knew everything that was in her head. And so we have our we have our list for her of like what interior touch-up jobs and exterior is. And then we have, I don't know if I can show you, but we have like our, you know, typical calendar of who's scheduled out when. So she can see when like the projects are happening. And she's only in the shop so often, but it gives her a good sense of, am I missing anything? Nope, it's all there. So yeah.
Wow.
But it is all color coded.
I'm so jealous. Yeah, it all just looks so nice. And so you guys, what does the company look like today?
We are at
a lot more people.
We do. Yeah. We're at 11 painters. We are interviewing three more right now. And then there's Steph and then the two admin staff. You know, we hope that by next year, depending on how the winter goes, we could be anywhere from 15 to 17 painters. And then I would really like to have one full-time admin staff. So that, you know, if emergency hits, things keep running on this side. And then Kayleen and I will keep doing what we're doing. So that would be the hope.
Wow. That is impressive. It's so cool. Okay. So what was the next thing that you did when you came in?
So we did all our rebranding. We got House Call Pro set up. We started a kind of look at HR needs because that was also something she was doing all the hiring and we wanted to streamline the process because, you know, the first 15-minute interview takes 15 minutes out of your day and just even scheduling four or five of them to find the one person you want to interview in person is time consuming. And so I took over all of the hiring stuff. So placing the ads on Indeed, writing the ads of what we wanted it to look like, tracking, you know, how many people come in. And then I would interview on the phone first, make sure they sounded like a good fit, tell them a little bit about the company, check salary requirements. And then I would set up for her interviews in person. And so even though I was helping her schedule the jobs out for the team, like just doing the on House Call Pro, our team gets a dispatch to let them know exactly where they're going. Private notes are put in there so they know what to expect on the job. You know, they have house codes if they need them to get in. They know who's on the crew that day. And so outside of doing that, I started scheduling her. So she knew where she needed to be. and so, right, she's like, she just gets an alert that says, okay, in 30 minutes, you need to be in Bedford. And so she just goes. And it's easier for her. It'll say, you know, this person booked their estimate with Christina over the phone. It's an exterior estimate. They know we're booked until next year, but they still want the quote. You know, like I can put notes in for her so that even if we didn't get a chance to chat that morning, she knows exactly what's going on.
Wow. All of this, it seems like too good to be true in that, like, if someone was going to try to find someone like you off the street, no one can afford that.
Well, I don't
Right?
know
Like
if
you're in demand in the world if you wanted to, like.
I think it's wrapping your head around what do you need, right? And what, like, our biggest thing, our biggest advice, because we don't just speak with our contractor friend, like business owners. You know, we have a neighbor who came over one day and he has a really impressive business. He builds coolers. A lot of them are for the marijuana facilities right now. So his business is booming. But whatever, he makes a ton of money. And he was just like, guys, I think I can't do this anymore. And I was like, sit your butt down. What are you talking about? Do you know what you built? Like, your business is incredibly lucrative. Like, you have this wonderful thing. The kid is like 26 years old, you know, like young. It's just an impressive business. And I was like, talk to me about what your pain points are. And he had this one employee that was driving him nuts, like giving him a really hard time. And I was like, you know, you're in charge and you can have a conversation of, hey, knock it off or get out. Like, that's your role, you know? And he was like, no, I can't. And I was like, okay, so you need an HR person who can do that for you. You know, and it's about identifying those pieces. He was having trouble scheduling and making sure that when a big job got done, he had little jobs to fill in until the next big contractor job came because he felt really guilty when he didn't have hours for his guys. He wasn't having any SEO. People weren't finding him online because it was all like word of mouth or government applications that he went for. And so we talked about how if we put these two little blocks on his website with the right text, it was going to drive more business to him. And so I think as people look at their business and think, oh, you do not need a secretary. If you think you need a secretary, go purchase one of those services that take your messages for you. That's not what you need. If you are overwhelmed and you're working 80, 90 hours a week because you're trying to do the paperwork and the scheduling or all of that extra stuff at night versus being on the job, what you need is operations. You need someone that can communicate for you to clients so that they feel like you have, you know, someone in the office that understands. You know, you need someone that's willing to do a couple of different things because Lord knows, like, there's some random stuff. There's days I go drop off lunch on Friday for the team. There's days that I pick up paint. There's days I clean the bathroom. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of what you do. It's not, you need someone that nothing's beneath them because they love the flexibility that your job could give them. You know, there's a couple of painters chat rooms that we're all part of. And often I'll see someone say, I can't find a fit. I'm like, you are missing out if you do not offer a mother's hours who used to be in this line of work because moms multitask all day. Their capacity to remember things is insane. They also have more patience than like Buddha. Do you know what I mean? And so if you aren't trying to say, hey, I can give you part-time or as many hours as you want, and if something happens with the kids, no problem. Like, you know, family first. I can give you that kind of flexibility. I don't think people are taking advantage of that in the way that they should, because moms work really hard. They make the most of their time. They're not going to be lazy because if they have time to kill, it is not going to be, you know, at the job. They're going to get everything done that they can. And they may say to you, like, you don't actually really need to pay me 10 hours today, you know, or 10 hours in 2 days. You need me for eight. So give me those 2 hours back. I'm going to go to the spa, like, or a coffee, take care of myself, but I will make the most of your 8 hours and I'll be super efficient for you. So I think that often people are looking, I need an admin. You don't need an admin. You need to identify what the pain points are for your company. You know, like for you and Steph, you guys love to do your social media. Often people are like, I need someone to do my social media. If you like to do it, no, you don't. You need someone to answer your phone calls. You know, what's your pain point? And so we talk to business owners all the time around, like, let's have a real conversation, dig back, like, identify what you don't like to do, and then literally put it in a job post. Like, here's the 10 random things I want you to do. And then if you're a go-getter and you see other areas you can help, awesome. But you get way more out of it and calling it like an operations manager or something along those lines. You'll find a better qualified person.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea going after the moms because, yeah, for most people, they're not going to have 40 hours of this type of work right off the bat. They're not going to be able to afford 40 hours. And then maybe you can pay more per hour and only have 10 hours a week and get great people.
And you, what you need for someone to cover you during the workday is typically when a mom's children are in school, right? And so the busiest business hours, the mom will be there as long as someone's not sick or it's not COVID. A lot of, even if it is COVID, a lot of those moms can still manage everything remotely. And if their children are of age where they can focus on their schoolwork, do their stuff, then really you're not dealing with, I can't even tell you how many times I answered the phone and I had a child saying, Mommy, I need PJ mask, or like someone like was on my leg. I'm like, I'm really sorry, it's COVID. They're like, it's totally fine. How old are they? And then we'd start talking, and you, the folks that you work with are typically the women of the family, right? Women of the family love talking to another mom because they understand it. And then you build this relationship without even trying, right? It's an authentic thing. And they feel like they know you and they love the people that you hire. And so it's this added bonus you don't even realize. So I highly, highly, highly recommend looking for those qualified moms who maybe had this career that would hit these buckets for you, that are taking some time to spend with their kids and to raise their family.
Yeah, it strikes me as a key piece to that puzzle though is also being like having the software and being remote, like being able to access your company remotely.
Yes.
I think that there's a small percentage of paint contractors in this country that are working that way. And that's probably the biggest hurdle is like, I don't know, I can just look back to me and like there but there's so many things to do. I need someone to do like all of these things, and like, where do I start? And it is tough. I had interviewed people for an operations office manager, almost hired the worst human being that could have ever came into my company, and I would be bankrupt by now. There's not a question. But luckily, I had a business coach at the time, and my business coach interviewed her at the same time. And what like happened was like unbelievable, and we found out this person was like completely full of it and was gonna like ruin me. But I didn't really know what I was looking for, and I didn't know the steps. So like this is awesome to hear. Like step one is like get some sort of systems in place that can be done remotely, and then start to find some people that can work part-time to fill that in. Because I think it is tough, like you know, what you have to pay a good person to do this type of work is not a secretary's salary.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, and you don't even have to typically, if you're hiring a mom, offer benefits, right? Like, so moms just want to help provide for their family. Like, if they're working from home, that means their spouse or their partner is most likely carrying the benefits. So it's not even like it's a lift on that end, but they're going to work hard for you. So they want to be paid well for what they do. And if you're finding the right person, it's worth every penny. I will tell you that there are plenty of software apps out there that you can do project management, you can do client communication, you can do scheduling to manage your team. I think it just matters how big is your team, what do you want the communication to look like? You know, for us, we were in Housecall Pro, and it definitely has its kinks, right? It's this larger thing, it's really expensive, it's not cheap. And we looked at Workglue because I think that's what y'all use, and I had seen you post it somewhere. And Kayleen and I went through the whole onboarding process. We brought it in, and we were like full steam ahead. And then it couldn't do three things that Housecall Pro can do. And I'm not kidding. I paid for a couple of months, and I had done integrations before, so I knew to not get rid of Housecall Pro, to not downgrade, to wait and make sure it was working. And we were a week, I think we were 2 days in, right? And my employees, I couldn't move people easily. It did not text communication with my clients. And I had two clients go, wait a second, I didn't know you were coming. I didn't get the text to say someone was on their way. And those two things, I was like, sorry, Workglue, this isn't going to work. And I went back to Housecall Pro. I took what I learned from Workglue. I met with Housecall Pro. I said, you need to figure out ways to do X, Y, and Z, or give me a workaround. And so we worked that in. But I think that, you know, if anyone has questions around, we'll take questions all day. You can email us. I'm happy to talk to anybody that's looking for like what kind of system might work for them. But it just depends on what scale you are and what you're looking for the software to do. I mean, people are out there all the time developing apps and project management tools, and it just depends on what you need. For us, we're handling anywhere from, I don't know, 4 to 5 projects a day. So I need to be able to be agile and move people quickly. And even though Kayleen and I are mostly who manage it, Steph needs to also be able to click in and use the app and reassign someone. And so it needs to be user friendly. And so we found that that really helped.
Yeah. And you need someone that like you clearly like and are good at this stuff.
Thank you.
I've worked with plenty of apps and done stuff and like done the email. Like I can't stand any of it. Like I did it just so I would have a digital estimate and invoice to send so I looked professional.
Yeah.
But like dreaded like I still to this day I dread having to type in a client's information and send them an estimate. Like it's
That's because
ridiculous, but
you're
you know.
creative, right? It's
Yeah.
maintenance. It's like it's monotonous for you. So if for your hiring, when you were hiring, if before Carney, I would tell you look for someone that when they come in has a pen and paper and they write everything down. Anyone that tells you, I love checklists or I color code things and kind of makes them embarrassed, like I'm like, you want those people. You want the OCD that like Kayleen and I, when we try out software, we get so excited. Or if we got like a checklist right, we totally geek out. And that's what you want. You want someone that likes it. Like we are color coordinated. If someone writes on our board in the wrong color, you're done. And you want that because
Yeah.
you want someone that's going to take pride in it. And there's plenty of people out there. It's just a personality type. I will tell you, again, back to the moms. Moms that have to multitask their schedule, their spouse's schedule, children's schedules, especially if they're of age that they do, multiple sports or activities. You think this board's impressive? Those ladies have calendars that have every different person has a color-coded, marker, and they can manage schedules 4 months in advance. That's a skill you need. Just saying. They're not going to know to put it on a resume, but that's what you're looking for.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and I think for me, as the person that's not good at it, sometimes when you go to hire somebody for something that you're not good at, it like they're not me. Like,
Yeah.
you know, I was talking to someone the other day and he was telling me about this hire he wanted to make, and I was like, dude, but that doesn't sound like anything like what you need.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you just like this person? Like, 'cause like the guy I was when we started going deeper and I was like the person that you need is someone that you don't like, that you don't get along with, they're different than you, you know. And so especially I don't know, I don't have the most professionalized hiring practices in the world. There are much better people than me. And so that idea that like when I go to hire this person, I'm gonna look at skills only and figure out how to find out what skills they have and look at those skills and ignore like how we get along and like do we think the same way and are we wired the same way?
Well, I mean, I will say you should like them. I do not advise you hiring anyone you don't like, because it's just going to add a layer of complexity that's not worth it. Like we, every time we hire someone, and we have a very awesome, unique team of people. There, no two of them are alike. And my favorite is when someone comes in and they're like, "Is my hair okay?" Because they have like a pink stripe. I'm like, "Yeah, are you a good person? I don't care what your hair looks like. Like, will you wear the uniform? Cool." For us, it's about, are you a fit? Can you get along? Are you going to laugh at me and not judge? Are you going to treat everyone with respect? Are you going to be confident enough to tell us where your areas of skill are and where you need help? And so I think that you can like someone as long as they can contribute the areas that you need help in, right? And so if it's someone that you like, but the job's not going to work, go grab a beer. You don't have to hire them. You know what I mean?
That's
Like,
it. That's what it is, though. It's like just because I want to have a beer with this person doesn't mean I should hire them to do a
right.
job that I don't want to do and I'm not good at and I need someone very different than me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have someone that you're like, I need this type of role, but I have no concept of who to hire, A, maybe your job description's probably not on, right? So send it to someone like me. Be like, is this right? Like, here's my pain points. And it may be as simple as I go, Zach, put the pain points in there. Just list them as, here's what your skills need to be. You know what I mean? And look for, there's behavioral questions that you can ask that will tell you if it's someone that is going to meet what you need, right? So if you really need help with scheduling, you don't say, how would you schedule this work week if I had 10 employees and whatnot? You would say, so what's the busiest time in your life, right? And for a mom, they're kind of going like soccer season or holidays and birthdays or the start of school. You know, fall is typically very calendar oriented for folks because, especially for us in New England, right? The seasons are changing, which automatically makes you feel like it's a fresh start. So we all take on these like new projects or, you know, redoing something in your home. It's this weird innate thing that we have, right? And so you have them identify a very busy time in your life and say, okay, so tell me how you manage it. And if they're like, I don't know, I just do it. That's not what you need. You need someone that says, well, I make a lot of lists. I put calendars up. I keep track of it in my phone. You know, any of those things, be like, oh, cool. Tell me more. And you never want to give them what you're looking for. You want to identify if they innately do it already. Because if they do it already, it means they're going to know what you don't know and what you need to know about scheduling. And they'll bring you tools and things that they use to be more successful personally into the business world. And that's what's going to make you successful. Because if you're hiring someone to do those things, you most likely don't like to do them, which means you're not thinking creatively about how to do them or having fun. You're just getting them done, right? But someone that does them and likes it will bring that skill set to you. They'll bring apps to you, or they'll go research stuff for you and think it's super awesome. They get really excited about a project and you're like, yeah, go for it. You want to do that? No problem. Like, just make sure it gets done what I need done. So.
I think that that's brilliant, and so many people, like, it's such an easy step to find a 10 hour a week mom, stay at home mom. Like, that's a fairly low risk hire.
Totally. Totally. And you may find that you find other areas where they're super helpful, where they identify for you things you don't realize that could make you more efficient. And then 10 hours grows to 15 hours or 20 hours. And what you'll find about moms is they know how to multitask. So like Kayleen, she's doing stuff for me at 10 o'clock at night for an hour. It only takes her an hour, where maybe it would have taken someone else 4 in the office. And she's clocking her time electronically and she's stoked because she just gained an hour when it was convenient for her and I got work done. You know, it's great. We made the mistake like you. We made an awful hire for an office manager, for an operations manager. And on paper, it looked like a really smart hire. And then the person come on and I realized that they were fluff, and that anything they said they could do, they couldn't. And like Kayleen could do something that took this person 8 hours to do in 30 minutes. No joke. And I was like, yeah, no. Sorry, friend. And I gave them a couple of, you know, redirects and a couple of tries. And then I finally was like, this isn't going to work. Sorry. And you have to be okay cutting that cord. It doesn't have to be mean, but you cannot afford to let someone on that's not going to help you. If it's they're a good human and they're willing to learn and it's just going to take a little longer for a learning curve, I highly suggest you invest in that learning curve because someone willing to learn, willing to work hard, willing to do anything, you know, like take the trash out or clean. You can't teach that. That's an ingrained value. And with YouTube, you can learn to do anything. If they say, you know what, it's fine, I'll go home, I'll watch some videos on my time, you want that person. Someone that's willing to take their personal time and invest it in learning something for you want that person. But someone that's not or expecting too much from you, kick them to the curb. That's not going to work.
Yeah, I love it. I think for a lot of guys, it's probably hard. There was a time, I think, when you're not good at operations like you are. For me, I might have looked at something and been like, I don't even know where I need to start. Like,
Right.
I don't even know what I need. And which I think you can still find, you can know the type of person you're looking for, hire them, and then they can help you identify what needs to get done, right?
Totally. Yeah, and I think in our field, anyone looking for this type of role needs someone who's organized, someone who likes to talk to people every day, who can be professional. You can tell a lot by the way someone does their cover letter or emails you. If they are well spoken or they can write well, that's great because that means they can email to your clients correctly. If there's no spelling errors, that means they check their work. Something very simple like that. You know, if you talk to them on the phone and you like how they sound and they're interactive, then that means with your clients, they're going to do the same thing. You know, those are the two big things. How are they going to interact with you and your staff? And how are they going to represent you to your clients? So anyone that's organized and technically savvy. So I will say that most apps are user-friendly. Most websites these days are user-friendly. If they can't do Excel, see if they'd be willing to learn. You know, like things like that that an admin needs to do, you can get trained in half an hour. You know what I mean? And so as long as they can do those things, they could learn anything. But you can't teach someone how to be kind to someone. You can't teach someone how to be respectful. And if at this point in their life they can't spell check, then it's not going to work because that means the client thinks you can't spell check.
I think finding a good person and then like working with them and empowering them to gain their skills and grow with you. I mean, that's how I've been able to do it.
Totally.
But I think that there's a lot of people who could benefit from having someone 10 hours a week to
Yeah.
start.
Yeah, 100%. And even if it's they're not answering all your phone calls, but you have an answering service that you pay to answer, but they're returning your phone calls. You know, that's a big thing. People like to talk. There's plenty of our clients that want to talk to you on the phone. Yes, my favorite is when they're like, "Hey, just text me." I'm like, "Yeah, I can text you and you don't know that I have a child on my back or I'm cooking dinner." You know what I mean? But there are those people that like to talk to you, you know, and so give them what they want, right?
Man, one of these days I'm gonna have kids. I know I will.
You
But
will.
every time I'm around parents, I'm like, last weekend we were out at the beach with a bunch of kids, and I was like, this is so fun, but I'm gonna delay having kids for a couple more years.
It goes on. It definitely it makes things interesting. And it does take it's a time consumption, right? So if you can have fun and give those other parents a hot second of a break while you're having fun with their kids, then you rock.
Yeah,
And you'll be
I got to
even
be
more
the fun
prepared.
uncle guy that came in
Totally.
and then was like, hey, see you later. I'm going home.
Yeah, exactly. Hand them back.
I think that this hopefully this encourages a few people to go out and find. I know I was in a mode of desperation when I was hiring that, looking to hire that office manager. I know that's like a really bad place to hire from. You don't want to hire from a place of desperation. I almost hired someone who would have made me bankrupt in under a year, and I would have thought it was all my fault. And, you know, I think that's another like scary thing is how did we do this and not like be overwhelmed and make decisions out of desperation?
Well, and one thing you can do that I don't think a lot of folks in our industry realize is you can hire a temp. So there's agencies that provide temps that are literally trained in office work and operational work. And so you can go to any temp agency and say, "I need someone who can do this skill set and help me get up and running," right? And so what's great about a temp is if it doesn't work, well, then you just ask for a different one, like if it's a personality fit. And if it does work, those folks typically can be taken from the temp agency and hired full time. What it will do is it'll take that sense of urgency, right, and put it to bed so that you can operate with this person, get things up and running in the way that you want, and then look for that right person to fill the job if they are okay for now, but not like the right long-term fit. And there's also places that do the recruiting for you. You know what I mean? That can say, "Let me find your person." Yeah, it's going to cost you money, but like you said, you hire the wrong person, they could bankrupt you. So it just depends on where you think the value is. Because if it's not a type of person that you're typically used to hiring, you want someone who understands what the right person and the right fit is for that.
Yeah, I knew that I needed to hire someone that was not like me. And,
Sure.
you know, that's not always easy
Yeah.
because I like people like me. Like that's me.
Right.
And it was like it definitely took me a lot of time and experience to finally even find Carney and work the way we do because yeah, it's not my thing. And I would much rather never look at it ever.
Yeah, but you
But
have
that's when
to.
you're starting with somebody, that's not you don't get to do that. You don't get to be like, I hate doing this, so you do it and I never even look at it. You know, that's not what an owner does. You
Nope.
like that's not fair.
And it's also not healthy for you as an owner that someone else knows something that you don't and that you couldn't hop into if you needed, right? Because I think that there's none of us are, you know, irreplaceable, right? Everyone, life happens, and at any time someone could leave you. So it's really important that you know how that person operates and what they do, so that if they had to leave, you could replace them or teach them something else. And I think that as long as you value that person and, giving them opportunities to show you trust them, treating them well, that's really all that you can do. And constantly say you're grateful that they do the thing you don't want to do.
Yeah. And so do you deal with the invoicing and estimating as well?
Yes. Yeah. And I will say that's a pain point for us right now. We're trying to make it a little bit more streamlined. So, as I mentioned, Steph has been doing this since 2007, and she has this phenomenal brain that the way she's wired, she can tell you a client's color that she did in 2007 and like the wall size. She does not forget details, right? And so forever she could operate where she didn't have to write it down. So it's just in her head. Or like the note she took with a client, someone else cannot decipher. Like she'll look at it and go, oh, that means it's going to be X, Y, and Z, and she'll just type it out. But when you get to the level that she's at, she's on like 8 to 10 estimates a week and trying to be on the job with her people and talking to clients. Like you cannot get those 8 or 10 estimates out in a timely fashion while it's in your head. And so we created these like notebooks where it outlined for her what the estimate looked like, so that when she would go to the estimate, she could try to write it out. And she was finding that was frustrating because she couldn't interact with the client the way she wanted. Because like you, she doesn't like that stuff, right? Like that's not how she wants to operate. She does not want to fill out my very neatly written notebooks of how the estimate, because if she did, then she could hand it to me and I'd have it done in 5 minutes and they'd have an estimate in 48 hours, which is okay. So, I mean, we like created online forms being like, Steph, fill it out on your tablet, and then we have exactly, and it's programmed in, it'll take us 5 minutes. And she's like, y'all are joking, right? Like, I don't even get on the computer anymore because that's what you do. And so we're trying to figure it out. She's doing a good job, but she went to 4 estimates last week and it's Friday and I have them prepped for her to come and review and we haven't looked at them yet. She had to be on the job 3 days this week. You know what I mean? So how do you streamline that so it's not delayed on the client, it's not stressful on your admin staff, that you have the ability to take 2 hours, approve and say, great, yep, this is good, send out, or no, make these fixes and send it out. And so we're working on it. We tried to give her a schedule of, hey, Mondays from 9 to 11, you're in the office and you have to sit still and you cannot be on your phone. And you have to literally look at, here's your invoices for the week, here's your estimates, and here's scheduling. Does this work for you? And maybe 2 times we've been successful. And then the others we have to go by the seat of our pants, but we're trying. And she's definitely trying. And it'll get there. But when you have someone that keeps it all in their head, it's hard for anyone else to take it on. So, invoices is easier because it comes from the estimate. So it has to be, we're constantly asking the leads, like, hey, tell us if you did work. Like, so Steph approved work for you to do that was extra that we don't know about. Could you just throw it in the notes so that we know to invoice for it so that your hard work doesn't go unpaid? And, so it's all about those communication pieces and how you kind of create that muscle memory to remember to do it.
Yeah, it's building those systems. A friend of mine runs a fairly large operation, and he just calls in the office and like describes or like tells them about the estimate, and they have templates and they fill out and they send an estimate 30 minutes after he's been there with
That's
pictures
crazy.
and everything. And I'm obsessed with that. I think it's brilliant,
Yeah.
getting quick turnaround on estimates. I go back and forth, but for the most part, we try to give prices on the spot
Good for
always.
you.
Because people just want, like,
I know.
I always say, like, you could be 15% higher, like, on your estimate. You don't have to, like, sharpen your pencil,
Yeah.
but give it on the spot and you'll close the same rate if you took 2 days and, like, sharpened your pencil and got exactly there. I've moved to, like, no, like, boom, here, there's a number.
Good for
And
you.
like not caring so much because you have that turnaround time, and then you get buried and you're like, I have to get these estimates out. And if someone gets an estimate a week later, like who wants to make a major purchase
Yeah.
having waited a week to even find out how much it's going to be?
Totally. Totally. And we started using Paint Scout. And I think that that's one of those tools that if you are good on your phone or on a tablet,
Yes.
they've designed it for painters, right? And so if you can get your formulas right, and like you said, like so maybe bump it up 15% or whatever, and really start to understand, okay, and Steph can do, I mean, she could literally say it's going to cost you this much while she's at a job. Lately, though, we are in these, like we're in 11,000 square feet right now. I don't care who you are, no one's going to get that done in 30. Well, maybe you do. We can't get that done in 30 minutes for an estimate. Like we have to take time and really make sure the numbers are right, because if not, you're in 11,000 square feet and you're going to lose money. And so something like that, a little different, but you know, if you're
Yeah.
doing a couple of rooms, like whatever. But what Paint Scout does is it's like an app. So you just hit buttons and say, yep, and you can take a photo and it's great, makes it really easy. We haven't gotten her on it where she does it yet, but it is getting faster where because we plug it in, I took off maybe like an hour of time that we're spending on each estimate, on the big ones. And so that's in place. So we're hoping that really helps.
Yeah, I love Paint Scout. We use it as well, and I've worked with them and I have a bunch of templates in there. And
Yes.
so
Yep.
I can just go into interior painting or gloss door. And
Yep.
I already have my paragraphs are written. I edit a couple sentences. I put my price in
Totally.
there, add a couple pictures. Boom.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it is that template piece, right? So if all the things you do outside for a couple of random projects are standard, you should take the time to template, you know, put the content in there, program it in so you don't have to keep doing it. That definitely saved us a lot of time with Housecall Pro before we got Paint Scout. And we find that that really helps.
Yeah, I think again, I would not have stopped ever in a million years and built templates.
Right.
But John at Paint Scout is awesome and was like, hey, why don't we just get on the phone for an hour and we'll do this? And I was like, okay, that works. And sure enough, like we were on the phone for an hour. It was so easy to do. We did it all and magically, I think he even typed it up. But it was just like one of those things with like I just have these mental blocks about stupid, silly things like that. But one now that I have them, I love it. I
Oh,
love it.
yeah.
Like, spending that hour or 2 hours building templates has made my estimating so much faster.
So much faster. Right. And like for stuff, we'll still print it so she can look it over, right? So she was worried at first if someone else was doing it, what if it's wrong, right? And because it's in her head, and what if she told me the wrong thing because she was multitasking? So we print it so she can go, oh, no, that's right. Okay, awesome. And then it gets sent out. So like there are ways to kind of proof check yourself to make sure that you're not, you know, rushing it or trusting the computer the wrong way. Like I printed one out the other day that I hadn't had a chance to look at, and the formula was wrong, and it charged like it was double digits for a wall. Like it was like $20,000 for walls instead of $2,000 for walls. She's like, you didn't catch that? Kaylin would have catched that. I was like, I was making dinner and doing your estimate, so you're
Ah!
welcome. Like that's why you're looking it over. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, you know, there, it is important to make sure if you're going really fast, you're taking time to check it. But if you put the right process in place, like you catch yourself.
I think that's like the key piece to all of this is process. Like building, like people, it's so talked about all the time, like systems and all processes. But it really is like if I want to grow, I have to take all of this like mental capacity that I've been using to keep everything going, which got me here. And I like Steph, I can keep a lot up here, and it got me to this point, but now it's
Totally.
what's holding me back,
Yes. Yeah.
right?
And what's the big fear? You know, like, so what if you put it on paper? So someone's going to understand it? Like, it's what's making you successful. If you want your employees to be successful under you, they need to know how you want them to do things. It's transparent, it's clear, it's, you know, we did that for our policies, for our procedures. Like we put it all on paper, and I did have to like hunt her down. There was a couple of family trips where we're in the car for 2 hours, and I got my laptop going, all right, so tell me how you do a window and how much time you want it to take, and you know, describe it for me. And I would type it out, and she's like, this is ridiculous. And then we would train someone, and they were learning the exact way she wanted it done. And if they had questions, they had something to go and look back at. And she's like, oh, I guess that helps. And I was like, it totally helps. So not that everyone's gonna write out their, you know, like a handbook on how to do things, but if it's in your head and it's how you want it done, why not? Take the 2 hours, get it done, make it official, and then everyone's doing it the exact same way.
Yeah, I think that people like Steph and I like the I like I like the freedom. I don't structure I like the ability to have no structure because then I can like do whatever I want.
Yep.
And I think
You're in
if,
control. I get it.
yeah, you get the control and you like you own everything because there's no set thing. And there's a part of my being that feels attacked by structure. Like, oh,
Defensive,
now
yep.
I have like I happen to have rules I have to follow now. And I don't like I got into this because I don't want to follow rules or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that like it's essential if I want to go to the next level, like I have to get out of my own way.
Totally. Well, and it's almost like, what's the worst case scenario? The world's not gonna fall apart if someone gave you structure for your folks who like you and want to do a good job to be successful. You know, or like all the time she's like, oh, I'll just have to do it myself. I'm like, If you taught someone and you documented how you wanted them to do it, you wouldn't have to do it yourself. And you give them a skill set that they're proud of and they're successful. They may not do it exactly how you would have done it, but you haven't given them 100 times to try to get it to that level. And heaven forbid they do it a little different and you learn something. So, like, it's one of those. And I get it. You want it done right, right? It's your company, it's your name. You want to make sure the quality is right. But she has the most amazing people under her. Like, we have unique, all different, loyal, hard working. The work that painters do in the field, it's not easy. You're not in a shop spraying things. You are out there on ladders. You know, it's a hot day. You're dealing with like bats or hornets or who knows what up on the roof. You know, like, these are hard working people and they're proud to work for you. You should reward that. You should give them the, hey, you're kicking ass. Like, okay, you didn't do it, but did it get done? Does the customer like how it came? Awesome. And if they didn't, say, I love how you're working hard, but if you tweak it this way, or there's a reason why I suggest you do it this way, because, and explain what you've learned through those $1,000 mistakes in the field that took you know, the last 15 years in your company to grow. Share it. They're not going to ignore you. They're not working for you to sabotage you. They're not there to like make you look bad. They want to work for you. They want you to be proud of them, right? And so be proud of them. Give them the opportunity to succeed. And I think Steph's been really in tune with that the last year. It's hard, you know, because she's very much like you. There's a little defense there. But she's really trying. And I think so every time that she gets defensive, her people will realize, like, all right, give her patience. It's been a bad day. Like, maybe we had a hellish morning with the kids, or, you know, who knows? Like, give her a little grace because she is trying and it's very obvious and she's making those, you know, choices. She's also like up on a ladder with them. Like, the other day, she sent me a photo from the top of the roof and I was like, I don't need to see that. Like, you are not a spring chicken. Get the fuck off the roof. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So, like, I was like, you have children. You cannot go get injured. But, like, you know, so they have a respect for her on that level too, because there's nothing that she won't go help them with. But we are finding that it's that lack of control, right? Like that feeling like, oh, what if it gets done wrong? Stuff
And
happens.
I think that like as an owner, like the mentality that I have is not what my employees like think like. They're a
Of
different
course.
type of person. And I've had to and continually have to rethink, and I can't just be like, what would I want in this situation? Right? Which is just how we're wired naturally to be
Sure.
like, well, everyone's like me. Well, as soon as I've like recognized like, oh, that my employees are not like me. So now I need to be like, okay, what do my employees want? And how do I give them that? Because I don't know. I can't intuit what they want because they're not like me.
Or they like each other, right? You've got how many people on staff, and they're probably all different. And it's different communication styles. There's the ways they want to be talked to, it's ways they want to be appreciated. And I think more often than not, like, even if you admit, like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to do this right. You know, like, I might mess this up, but please know I have your best intentions. So you need to be honest and tell me what you need. I think sometimes that can, you know, like, really help. I also think that there's an element of understanding that we're all human, right? The reason why you got your company to where you got it and where Steph got promoted to where she got it is because it's your baby and you will do whatever you have to make sure it succeeds. It's okay that your employees are not looking at your company like it's their baby and they're going to do whatever they want to. They're humans. They're there for a paycheck. Hopefully they like the work and hopefully they like working for you, because if not, they're going to go find work and someone else somewhere. You know what I mean? And so if you can bring it back to that, I think it helps make that element business, not personal. And it kind of takes it, I don't know, it takes the stress off of it. Like, it's not offensive. It's not, it's someone's not trying to insult you, you know, like, and so, and I think that makes it less, because again, it's not your child that they're bullying. Like, they're not making fun of, you know, what your kid's wearing or whatever. They're literally doing a job and trying to do it right. And they have not been on the brush for 15 years like you have. They have not built something that is their livelihood. You give them a check every 2 weeks. And as long as they're respectful to your clients and they're trying their damn best, and you know, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. Do you guys get to do like a good cop, bad cop thing now that you have two people like managing?
God, if any of our employees are listening, they're laughing right now. Yes, I tend to be the bad cop, or or not, I guess not the bad cop, but like I one of the things I did probably 4 months ago, which I should have done it sooner, but like I had everyone sign the non-compete, sign the policy handbooks, get all their paperwork in order, right? Because even though we have good people, you need to protect yourself. And in our industry, you could invest all this time training someone, and then they go to someone else's company and teach them everything you train them in. So for all of y'all listening, if you don't have non-competes, if you do not have like signed paperwork saying I won't go elsewhere and teach someone everything you just taught me about spray guns, you know what I mean, or what have you, or Fine Paints of Europe, because you know, for us, like that's, as certified painters, like that's kind of a niche. And I know they can go to you and they can learn in your class, but that's someone paying to learn a service. It's very different than coming on, maybe having access to some of your documents or screenshotting like what you do, and then taking it elsewhere and teaching them, like teaching a competitor. You know, I will say that there's more than enough work in this industry. Like, we try to treat colleagues out there not as competitors, but like we can all learn. But let's face it, like someone could try to steal your people, and you just want to ensure that the time that you invested in them is safe and protected. And so anytime that something comes up as a policy issue, she's like, go ahead, give them a call. They're like, hey, they're late again, and we said you can't be late this many times. And I'm like, you're gonna see them in an hour. She's like, I know, but that's your thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks. So like so it's one of those things, you know, or like they're sick, hey, go ask them for a COVID test. And I'm like, I know, it's my thing. You know, so that's kind of like the good cop, bad cop element. But you know, it's other than that, I don't think we're mean. Like, I feel like
No, but
there's no
Steph gets
bad
to be
cop,
like,
but
hey, it's not me.
yeah.
It's
Oh yeah,
Christina's
go talk to
rules.
HR.
These are
Oh
the
yeah,
rules.
100%. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
I work. Carney and I have a bit of that, and it's, but it, because it just comes with the territory. As soon as you put some structure in, there becomes rules,
right.
and then people can break them. When there's no structure, there's no rules, and no one can ever break them.
Exactly.
That's how I've lived forever.
Yeah. But I'm sure
Oh,
it's
what?
rough.
Like, whatever we're gonna do today, we're like, I get to just like, whatever happens today, I get to do it. Like, and there's no
Yeah.
rules,
Right.
and that's fun and great for people like me who thrive on the chaos and the new and the different. But my ideal employee is completely different than me, does not thrive on chaos, and wants structure. So as soon as I recognize like my ideal employee needs these things, it became like, okay, well, we need to build these things because I
Yeah,
want my
totally.
ideal employee.
And you have to maintain them. You know, I think building them's awesome, but if you can't keep them up, you know, like it's not, you know, we gave our employees this awesome House Call Pro, right? And I was like, I'm going to do checklists for you. And so, you know, so it's super easy. You can just go check, it's done. And then I know it's done, right? And then I'll have a hard week with the kids, and I didn't put any checklists in. They're lucky they got dispatched at 10 o'clock at night, right? And I'm not holding myself accountable because that's not fair to them. You know, and so it's a back and forth. Like, I think you also have to, you know, own that if you're going to do something, you're going to commit to making it work. And you know, anytime someone's like, hey, I'm wicked sorry I didn't clock in, I'm like, no problem, takes me 2 seconds, I'll fix it, you know. And so I think there's got to be some balance of understanding you're working together.
Yeah. I think that's a great point about following up and continually supporting employees. That's something I think I've been not very good at. It's like I get them going and like and then you're like, "Oh, now I don't ever have to think about you again." And you're just going to keep going. That's not how human beings work. And
Right.
that's been a tough learning curve for me too, is like Oh, I have to continually go back and reinforce and support and, because that person's not like me and they don't need the kind of management that I need or needed, right? And
Totally.
the more I've been able to like take myself away and stop acting like everyone's like me in my company and see them for who they are, I've seen a lot of success with that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, totally. Well, and I think there is that element too of like the support's key, right? When we hired that person who didn't work out, he came from a perspective of he was hired to manage people. And he said it to me once. I said, "No, friend, you're hired to support the team. If you cannot do what they need of you, this will not work." And then so when he said it again, I was like, "No, this is not working. Like, my role is to give them what they need. Like, if I have a skill set that can identify things that make it easier for them in the field, like Kayleen's working on inventory so that at night they just return the van and that we are making sure the stuff they need is in there. There's a whiteboard. If you tell me you're out of naps, okay, we'll put them in the, van." It's like, how can we find ways so that you know that we're supporting you so you could be more successful at your job? And that's, from a manager standpoint, like you have these hard working humans under you. If they don't know you care about them, you are doing something wrong. You should hold them responsible. You should keep, give them something to aspire to, and then identify when they're kicking ass. Make sure you say it. If they're having a moment of struggle, say, "Hey, I see you're struggling. How can I help you? This isn't like you, like, and how can we work to that next standard?" And I think that's all any of us want.
Do your employees all come to the shop in the morning, get vans, and go to job sites?
Only the leads. So we have employees that will meet. So they'll get dispatched. Everyone knows where they're going. What's awesome about HouseCall Pro is in the dispatch, they know who the lead is for that day. They have access to text or call them right from the app. So say they're running late or they need to contact them for whatever reason. There's typically like parking notes or anything like that, depending on what job we're on, as well as what the scope of work is for that day. And so the leads will come get the vans. I'm trying to find, and if anyone happens to know of one of these, send it my way, like a electronic screen that I can put notes in for my phone that shows above our grab shelf. So when the leads come in, they see their name and what they need, and it's on the color-coded shelf that matches their van, right? So like there's just no guesswork. I haven't found it yet, but when I found it, I will implement it. But so the leads come in, they get the vans, and then they go to the job.
Interesting. Is that because everyone's close? You work in a small enough radius that everything's kind of close? You tell
Yeah, and
us.
before COVID, they would have totally rode together, right? But when COVID happened, you had to do the 6, feet, and we wanted to give our employees the safest chance to not get exposed if someone, was exposed. And so I think if it ever goes back to a point where you can, like, even though those are vaccinated, could ride together, that where ride sharing makes sense, we'll easily offer that option. But right now, that's just the way we're working out. All of our jobs are under 30 minutes away. And so, except for we're on one that's like closer to an hour. So those folks can ride share if they want to.
Yeah, we struggle with what to do with the vans and the guys because nothing's like we're all over the place and it would be insane if everyone came to the shop in the morning and then went to the jobs.
Yeah. And are you having your leads just drive, or are there multiple people that can drive the vans?
We kind of like everyone like right now the vans are like completely flex. Like nobody owns them and like they just sort of move around as needed. But I don't think that's ideal.
Yeah.
And like it's better for me
Sure.
and us, but I don't think it's better for our team. I think it's nice to be like, this is my van
Yeah.
and I take care of it. And this is like, and not like, hey, tomorrow Tom needs the van, give it up. And you're
Totally.
like, oh, that, like, so we're working on that. But it's always something I'm like, how do we figure this out? 'Cause the distance that we travel is a definite problem, you know?
Yeah, and we have, for most part, each lead has their own van, but there's also a trailer for the exterior stuff. So on the days that the trailer's at the exterior job, he doesn't have to go get a van because he can just drive there and take what he needs out of the trailer. And then it frees the van up for like a one person job to go take care of a small bathroom. And so there's some flex, but we try to keep consistency. Just because as a lead, like you're taking on that responsibility. You should be who does not have to drive their vehicle to work. All of our leads are, we're so freaking lucky because we have really awesome people. But they all have like great pride in their work. Some of the vans could be a little neater than they are, but that's okay. So yeah.
Have you ever thought about starting like a Facebook group for ad like paint contractor admins or operations people?
No, I mean, I would
I feel
say
like
Carney would. I'm
I
sure she'd
know,
go with me.
yeah, Carney would like love to be, and I think like people that have your mentality and are doing what you're doing and are trying to find like Steph and I are trying to figure out how to get paint to look better or last
Yeah.
longer or. Like we are nerding out about our
Oh,
stuff.
yeah.
And I could just see like if there was a bunch of operations people in a group doing the same thing with operations, instead of everybody doing their own thing in their vacuum all over the country,
Yeah.
it would make sense.
Yeah, totally. I'd be down. Or maybe it's even
Carney.
just a discussion poll for, the business, the pro painter network. Like maybe there's like a subset or something that can help identify folks that are already kind of packaged together.
Yeah, somebody said you're going to start a union soon.
Don't know about that, but
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about Paint Like a Girl. Is that what it's called?
It is. Mister, you obviously haven't listened to it yet. Thanks so much.
No, I've listened. But it's not like this doesn't have its own thing on the iTunes. So.
It does. If you, I'll send you a link. We're just
Oh.
rolling in season one, so it's only gotten so much traction. It's awesome. We're under IMA Media, so Nick May's podcast network, and we about, oh my gosh, maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, Nick had posted something saying, "Hey, are there any ladies out there that'd be interesting in hosting a podcast?" And I think he thought he'd get one. He had had a podcast started about a year earlier, called Broad Strokes, and they interviewed some really phenomenal female painters, and it was a good season, but it just didn't take a second season. So he's looking for someone to fill that role. And Steph screenshotted it. I was like grocery shopping, and she sent it to me. She's like, "Oh, this looks cool," And I was proud of her because she's super shy and she doesn't typically get on these things, but she had been doing some and really enjoyed it. So I was like, "Yeah, you should totally do that." And then I read it closer, and I was like, "Wait, you have to host?" I was like, "Oh, I wonder if he'd let me do it." And then, so we talked to him about it, and he's like, "I could have you both." And I was like, "Yeah." And so she puts up with me because I get super geeked out about it. I love it. And we rebranded it so that it really focuses on female all-stars of the painting industry because there's so many of them in different roles. And what we're trying to do is give them a voice. Season one was really about introducing you to some names that maybe you've seen, but you don't understand their background or you don't know how awesome they are, and giving them a chance to shine. Season two, we're really starting to get into the mechanics behind how female operated business painting companies work, and some of the harder questions, because we feel like now you get to know us. Our opening episode will be an episode of just Steph and I. And so it'll be us interviewing each other, which is kind of unique and different. And it's really just a chance to give females a
You should
voice in
talk
the
to
industry.
Carmelina. She's
Oh,
down
okay.
there.
Okay. Cool. Send me your info.
Right.
We'd love to.
Yes. I believe she
Oh,
works
yeah.
with Louis Gloria, right?
Okay. Cool.
That's you, right, Carmelina? And she's amazing, and what they're doing and what she's brought to the table for them is very impressive. And the little I
Awesome.
know about what they're doing down there in Texas. I think you guys would like talking to her. Very smart.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're on to season two now? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we're on to season two. We're working on a sponsor. We have someone in mind. We hope they sign on. They're very female empowerment, and they're in our industry, and they serve all of the industry in a way that we think is, I don't know, just like it's so connected to who we are and what we do. And so we're hoping they sign on. And then we have about 10 episodes a season. And so the second season will start in September. I think actually the podcast episode of Our Girls, we interviewed a bunch of the girls on staff, aired this morning. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. And because we're very fortunate, we have like at that time we had 70% of our staff were females, which I think is unique and different.
Yeah.
So
I wish I
yeah.
could find more women. I've had a couple that were really good, but I'd love to. Someone said, are you making a video? Yeah, all of our podcasts, all of these shows are going to be on IGTV, so everybody can watch.
Cool. And I will say one thing about finding women. Carney and I were chatting yesterday because we interviewed Carney for our podcast. I think she'll air next week. As long as I
I
get
can't
her
wait to
audio
listen
file.
to this.
She's awesome. She doesn't bash you at all. No, she says all good things.
Ah.
but she mentioned she came from a tech school, and it was like one of these aha moments where we were like, oh my goodness, we're not going to any tech schools introducing the like, why are we not doing this? It's a perfect place to find females who know they like to work with their hands, who have a different way of approaching things, and who are interested in the industry. And so we're like, we had this conversation of we need to like create a program where we go into these high schools and we talk to them about finding, females who might want to paint and that sort of thing. So who knows? Big things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The name of the podcast is Paint Like a
A
Paint
girl.
Like a Girl. Paint Like a Girl.
Yeah. We were
Boom.
playing off of that throw like a girl, mentality.
You play ball like a girl.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that is not a derogatory thing, because women are
No, it's an
badass.
empowering
And
thing.
yeah, you guys get some shit done.
Yes, sir.
That's what like the takeaway. I'm just like, I'm so impressed at like how into it you are, having like just like Steph started this thing, like it was her thing, and you were like, have fun over there. And now it's like, oh, now I'm coming in and we're gonna make it 10 times better. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, it's funny because Steph gave Carney the same exact compliment yesterday. She's like, after the hour of talking to her, she's like, girl, you are in our industry. Like, you are a painter. I would not, like, you geek out with us about the same things. And, when I started dating Steph forever ago, she was in the beginning of the business. So I feel like I've been there, at some aspect. And I've seen things. I'm not even allowed to paint our closets because that's just not my skill set. I will confess that I may have painted a room before we put our house on the market while she was mowing the lawn, and she came up and yelled at me because I used the wrong paint. And she was like, "What are these cut lines? They know a painter lives here. What is wrong with you?" And so she had to fix the whole thing. So that is not my skill set. But it's I have a obviously a love for her. I am so proud of what she's built. And then you get invested in your people. Like we have the best people. It's a family here. It's very different. And folks that get in it and they stay, they feel the same way. And so it's hard to not love it and geek out about it. I'm obsessed with Fine Paints of Europe. I don't know anything about like any of the stuff y'all teach, but like it is elite. Like you want to talk about different level. And stuff like this, the education and the learning and podcasts, that's my thing. Like I was a theater major, I'm a writer, I was a photographer. So for me, it gives me areas that I can use skill sets that I have, and I'm clearly not shy. And so it lets me kind of channel that energy in a way that I have fun and I get something out of it. And I don't feel like I'm just supporting her in her business, but I'm actually like helping.
You're totally helped. Like, but you're like the rock star employee that no one can afford. Like, let's be fair, right? Like, if you go to the market, you could command six figures and like get shit done in a real company. So to be able to bring that into a like
Yeah.
a startup painting company, I mean, what a valuable asset you are. That's unbelievable.
Thank you. I did leave a six-figure job, and I could go back and get one. But going back to the mom thing, we have a family, we have kids. What ProImage gives me is something that other job cannot. And you have moms raising your kids that want to be valued, that want to use their skill set, that will literally produce for you in ways that someone else wouldn't, because they'll be invested because you're allowing them to put their family first. And for many of us, that is just it's irreplaceable. So it's it's totally where I want to be. I don't know that I'd ever go back at this point. I have dreams about how to make her bigger. I keep throwing the name of the firm out there. And she keeps going, can we focus on the brush wash and get that super big and then we will worry about other things? And I'm like, yep, no problem. We have a that product that cleans paintbrushes because my wife is multi-talented and she just invents things that make problems, poof. And so I need to get some time and energy into that as well. But I'm in, like at this point I'm like, I'm never going back. I mean, don't get me wrong, working with your spouse, we definitely have moments where I'm like, see ya, I'm gonna go get another job. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'm sorry, I love you. I don't wanna leave. But
Yeah,
it's real
how has that
life.
been? Like, I mean, you have to, I would imagine you have to start with a great relationship before you bring it into the company. And have you had to change anything about how you interact, or has it been pretty organic?
We're really fortunate in that we've always had a strong relationship. We are both strong personalities.
Yeah.
We were both folks who had had the unfortunate nature of breaking someone else's heart, but also having our hearts broken. So I think when we found each other, we had this deep respect for, if you are a partner in something, how you put your partner first while keeping your own value, right? And so I think that that's what's made us successful in a relationship, as parents to neurodiverse children, and then in the professional realm as well. It's not easy. I mean, there's definitely moments where I'm like, if this business breaks our marriage, you and I are. And she was like, well, even if we got divorced, couldn't we still work together? And I was like, what is wrong with you? No,
Ah!
and it's because it is. It's like we work so, and it's never all of it's never awesome, but it is so good. You know what I mean? So like any week that we're kicking ass at work, the kids are driving us crazy, and we don't want to be parents. And we're like, hey, you take them for an hour, and then I'll take them for an hour because I need a break. And so it's hard. It's not easy to work and live and love with one person all day long. But if you can have the right perspective, you can kind of ignore the bullshit because there's gonna be bullshit anywhere, right? Like, and it's all about the choices you make. There's plenty of days that she looks at me like, you're right. I'm like, no, I'm making awful choices right now and I'm just a jerk. So just give me a hot second, and I'll call her on that too. The stress of the employees, we take it out on each other. We were up to literally 11:30 last night working on something for a client. But who else is gonna work with you till 11:30 at night to get something right for a client? You know what I mean? So like, it's awesome. It's hard. But like, what in this life that's worth it isn't hard. You know what I mean? So
Love
it's
it.
good. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Well, it's Saturday. It's Friday morning, not Saturday morning. I have to get going. So
Cool.
we have three questions that we ask everybody. We'll tailor
Oh
them a
boy.
little more to you.
Okay.
But I still ask everybody this question, so I guess we'll ask it. I need a
Okay.
DIY painting tip.
Marry a painter. I mean,
Boom! That's the first time we've heard that one. And that's a brilliant one.
thanks.
Marry a painter. Done.
Peace cake.
What is your favorite tool or app or piece of software or something that helps you do your job?
Definitely HouseCall Pro. As much as there's days I hate it, I don't think we could operate without it. I mean, I've learned that we cannot operate without it. So I love HouseCall Pro or any project management tool that allows you to communicate with your clients and your team electronically. And then tied with that Paint Scout, because like I said, like I'm obsessed with Paint Scout. I
Yeah, me
wish it
too.
did what HouseCall Pro did, because I would literally do just them.
I know. I know. We're using WorkGlue with Paint Scout and it does most of what we need. But it's tough. There's not nothing seems to be perfect.
Yeah. No. I mean,
But
if we
they
could just meet an app developer, we'd be fine. We'll design it ourselves.
no big deal.
Piece of cake.
All right. I need a horror story. Of in the time you've been with Pro Image, something you did that caused like horrible repercussions that Steph still doesn't even know about that you've been trying to hide for years. Not anything you got.
So I have one. She knows about it, but she didn't know about it at the time. It's as a female in this industry, Steph often has to go into estimates, prepare for someone to judge her right away. So she will, if she knows she has estimates that day, she gets all pretty. She puts her hair down. You know, there's no hat. She's making sure she's in clean shirts. Nice. You know, she looks great, because she's going to get judged right away, regardless. And any female that tells you they're not feeling any heat for being a female in this industry, either kudos for them because I want to know where you're working, or you're taking it off the cuff and you're not helping anybody by not being real about it. So we have phenomenal clients who, the second they meet her and they ask her questions and she kicks ass, they're like, this is awesome. And we also have people that hire her because she's a female, but she never knows going in what that first 30 seconds is going to be. So she went to this one client who, it was a big job, high end, and let's just say they were a little skeptical of the female thing, but then definitely fell in love with her, right? They may have done that whole, wow, you have three kids, you look great piece, you know, again, because she's not out there telling anybody she has a wife. And they talked about the kids and they talked about the autism and this really lovely woman from down south who, again, we have no idea what she thinks about two moms, is giving her advice on our son and about a chiropractor that may help her. Now, again, I do all the emails and answer all the phones. I'd been emailing with this woman and I didn't, I mean, she told the client that our son had autism. That's not like a, like you're in an intimate conversation. That's not something you're throwing out. And it didn't occur to me that she didn't tell us she had a wife. And so I literally am emailing back and forth and was like, yeah, I gave my wife your information. She's going to call the chiropractor. Thank you so much. And I send it because I'm multitasking. And about, I don't know, a minute later, I go, because I remember what client it was. And I was like, oh God. Oh no. And so she writes back and was like, great, no problem. And she was like, pleasant. So I was like, okay, she at least wrote back. And at this point, she hadn't accepted the estimate yet. And I'm like, oh, I just tanked us. Like, I just ruined this whole thing. And so she comes home. She's like, I was like, I gotta tell you something. I kind of outed you today with the client. She was like, you what? And I was like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I mean, we did the work and the client was phenomenal. But I was definitely like, oh, that's not good. Like, because it's hard, because you never know. You're trying to be someone and then, but so yeah, that was not a fun moment.
Yeah, that's hysterical. At least you owned it right away.
Yeah. Oh, well, I waited till she got home and it wouldn't freak out or take it out on anybody she was
And you
working
won the job.
with. And we won the job. Yep. And it's an awesome client. So worked out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Christina, thank you so much for joining me on this. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
You are awesome. Steph is
You
very
too.
lucky to have you.
We will keep telling her that.
I will, every time I talk to her from now on, let her know.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was so much fun.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Boom. That was awesome. Operations manager, how important of a role that is. And to find somebody like Christina, to have a spouse working in the company. Obviously, not all of us are lucky enough to have that. That's a very special thing. You can ask a lot from that person, and they can't quit. But again, if you, I keep struggling to say this, but it's Paint Like a Girl podcast. Check that out. Pro Image on Instagram. They are a certified Fine Paints of Europe contractor. They use a ton of fine paints. Awesome craftsmanship going on up there in New Hampshire. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and I'll see you next Tuesday.